Shalom Aleichem. Do you hear me? I don't hear you. One
Yeah,
second.
we hear you.
We're muted.
Good.
Loud and clear.
Okay, what time was it supposed to have been today's Zoom?
2:30 is 2:35.
Okay, fine. Okay, so I tried calling, I tried. I didn't have the passcode. Okay.
Anything.
Okay, so let's start. We're good? We can start?
Yeah.
Which room are you in? Oh,
The
you're in
next,
that
my
the
back is
porch.
starting. What's going
Okay, Gavaldik. All right.
on?
What did you say?
Sardim
Yeah. Oh, you remember that still. That's pretty good. Okay. So you've been
Adashkenazim.
giving him a machai that I have to say something that you should remember. It's going to be a continuation of last Vad. Last Vad was like the foundation, and today we're going to build, I guess, the first floor of that. Let's start. Purim is around the corner. In a few weeks. But let's talk about something, or you say that we could take out of the Megillah with regard to Tikkun HaMidos. We know that the Pasuk says by Mordechai that he refused to bow down to Haman. Everybody did, because Avdi HaMelech Asher B'Shar HaMelech Koyrim U'Mishtachvim L'Haman Ki Kein Sivu Lo HaMelech. Mordechai lo yikre v'lo yishtachaveh. Mordechai refused. He wasn't in Korea. He wasn't mishtachaveh. It's a present tense. It's ongoing. He kaseda refused to bow down to Haman. And the question is obvious, is that basically he's defying the decree of the king. Ahasuerus, who's not a normal person, could do anything on the jerk of a reaction, could take off his head. Ahasuerus said, "Kikein tzivelo ha-melech," that you have to bow down to Haman, and Haman was the most powerful person in the kingdom, and in a mamish in a flash, Mordechai could have been killed, and nevertheless, Mordechai chose not to bow down to Haman. So basically, what was he doing? He was risking his life in order not to bow down to Haman. Why did he do that for? You're not allowed to give up your life. First of all, it's not one of the pashas, because if you pshuto shel mikra, Haman wasn't an avodah zara. It was just a gzeiras hamelech that you should honor him, which means gives kavod to the melech, to Ahasuerus, that people are respecting even his prime minister. And if pshuto shel mikra, if it's not an avodah zara, then why was Mordechai risking his life? We only risk our lives for gilui hareisha, because then avodah zara, not for stam. So why was he doing this for? And even if you go with the drush of Chazal, or Pidrush, in Megillah Yutes and Sanhedrin Samach Aleph, that Haman made for himself to be an Avodah Zarah, and Memela, there is some form of Issa Avodah Zarah going on here, or Bezrayat Avodah Zarah, and therefore it should be Yarag V'Yavo. But Lemaise says the Pshuta Shel Mikra is not like that. The Pshuta Shel Mikra wasn't Avodah Zarah. And if that's the, and to prove Pshuto Shel Mikra is because the only person who didn't bow down to Haman was Mordechai. What happened to all the other Yidden and Klal Yisrael, or all the other Chachmei Ador? Mordechai wasn't even the greatest leader of Klal Yisrael. Chazal said that Mordechai was number four, then he was demoted to number five. He wasn't even the biggest Talmud Chacham that Klal Yisrael had at the time. And everyone's bowing down to Haman. The only one who refused was Mordechai. What's Pshat? To take it to the next step, not only what was the reason why Mordechai was risking his life, but the Rambam, you do the Rambam, you say the Torah in Perek Hey Halacha Aleph, the Rambam says that if a guy forces a yid to be over one of the mitzvahs HaTorah, besides for the Gimel Averis Chamuris, there's no chiv to be Maisa Nafshoi. And not only that, if he is Moisei Nefesh and he gets killed, he's liable for his misa. It's as if he committed suicide. It's us of him to do. So now it begs the question. So not only, okay, Mordechai wasn't mechuyav to do this, it was also for him to do. He had no right not to bow down to Haman. So what was the cheshbon of Mordechai? Of Shetzach, we're going to go with Chazal as well, with the Drashas Chazal, that Haman was Avodah Zarah. But even if you hold like that, it still begs the question, what was Mordechai's cheshbon? Because even if Haman was an Avodah Zarah, but that didn't give Mordechai the right to incite Haman, to deliberately show Haman off, I'm not bowing down to you. And that's what Mordechai did. He did it with speech, through action. He deliberately hurt Haman, so to speak. He deliberately insulted Haman Barabim that he's going to defy the Gzeres HaMelech and not bow down to him. L'mashal, when Haman came, not only didn't Mordechai get up, he said, Chazal said, he didn't even ask him. He didn't, it means he totally disregarded him. He was mamish, he insulted him. And that's dangerous. That you have no head to fight. There's no reason why you have to insult him. And then when Haman asked him, he Shalom, Shal b'shloimeh, what did Mordechai do in response? Ain Shalom Ama Hashem l'Rishayim. I don't give Shalom to Rishayim. So he called him a Rasha. And then when Haman left the Suda, that first Suda that he had with Achashverosh and Esther HaMalka, Chazal say, the Targum says, that Mordechai was right there. And what did he do? He stuck out his foot and he showed him the shtar mechira that Haman sold himself as a slave to Mordechai. It means Mordechai was deliberately inciting Haman and putting him down. It wasn't stam, okay, there's Avodah Zarah going on here, so I'll Avodah Zarah, I won't bow down. Okay, so don't bow down. But that doesn't give you a right to incite and bring upon your demise. What was he thinking? Chazal say even more that Mordechai kicked Haman. And that many other inyanim in Chazal that he deliberately did to denigrate Haman. And the shaila is, so what's pshat? How is he allowed to do it? It's sakonis nefashis. It's mischayiv benafshai. The Maral brings down that he went out of his way. There were ways that he could have avoided Haman. Let's say we know that Haman always takes, I don't know, First Avenue. Takes 10th Avenue. So you could always walk on 9th Avenue and avoid Haman. And he didn't. He bedavka found out which way Haman was walking at that time, and bedavka passed him at that time not to bow down. There was a maisu with Ben Gurion in the Chazon Ish. Ben Gurion wanted to come to the Chazon Ish to try to influence the Chazon Ish to get the Yidden to, I think it was to join the army. I forgot what the cheshbon was at the time. And the Chazon Ish debated what should he do when Ben Gurion comes to his house. If he's going to be sitting, he's going to stand up for Ben Gurion. How you talking? He's going to give cover to a Rasha. He can't do that. Elma, he should stay sitting. He should insult the prime minister. That's also not. So the Chazon Ish bedavka stood. He waited for him standing. So this way, when he comes into his house, he won't be sitting. He won't be getting up from him, and he won't be not getting up from him. He will avoid the whole shaila. Mordechai and Haman, we had the same type of relation, same type of a meeting. Mordechai could have avoided Haman the whole time. And not only didn't he avoid him, he bedavka went out of his way to show Haman, I am not bowing down to you. What was the cheshbon, Rabbi? It's sakonis nefashis. He has no chiv to do this. And in fact, it should be us of him to do this. That's the shiloh. It's a very yesodistic shiloh that really runs throughout the entire theme of the Megillah. I want to share with you a gevaldike yesod. It's a fascinating yesod. I'm going to have to develop it, but it's an eye-opener, which I have to assume that many of you have not heard this yesod. The Ishbitzah, he has a sefer Me'a Shiloyach in Chelek Aleph Parshas Veskanan. He's going on the pasuk Va'avdet Hashem Elokecha, that a person is not mechuyev to give up his life only for the gimel averis chamuris gilai ra'is shikas dama avodah zarah. And then he adds something fascinating, unbelievable. Aval al ha'mitzvah hayadu aloi, but on the mitzvah that it's known to him, that this touches the shayrish of the person, this talks to his shayrish. This is why he came into the world for. Every yid has a neshama that has a shayrish lamayla. His inyan, what he's supposed to be misaking. And if it touches on that inyan that he's supposed to be misaking, mechuyev limser nafshalei. He's mechuyev to give up his life for that inyan. There are the three averis chumuris that run through the entire klaiso that we have to give up our lives for. But every individual has his own mitzvah, avti Hashem alekecha, that he has to give up his life for. It's the mitzvah that's his shayrish. If that's his shayrish, al pi din he's mechuyev to give up his life. And he brings a few rais to this. One rai is our sugya, Mordechai. Mordechai didn't bow down to Haman because Mordechai felt that the shayrish of his neshama is not to bow down to Haman. To be kaifa on this inyan of Avodah Zarah to Haman. We'll discuss why, but that's what he says. And therefore, Mordechai risked his life, which should have been shaloi kedin. If you and I would have done that, it would have been shaloi kedin. All the other Gedali Israel didn't do it because it's shaloi kedin. The only one who had a right to do this was Mordechai because that was his Shurish Neshama. In Parshas Kisetsa, he brings a couple of more rayas. He says that's the reason why Rabbi Akiva gave up his life for Netilas Yadayim, the Gemara in Irvin Kaf Aleph and Mebez. He was in jail and he had a limited supply of water that his Talmud would bring in. And one day the guard stopped the Talmud and poured out half of his water. And now Rabbi Akiva didn't have enough to wash his hands for Negavasa and to drink. And he chose instead to wash his hands. And the Talmud asked him, like, what's going to be? So what should I do? I have a chiv to wash my hands. He gave up his life. He could chatz v'shalom die of thirst. He gave up his life for Negavasa. Rekiva's shayrish neshmasa had to do with netilas yadayim, and therefore he gave up his life. He was willing to give up his life. Daniel, mevu in Tanakh, in Perek Vav, in Daniel, pasuk yeralef through Yitzayin, based on also medrash and shechetoyv in Samak Dalet Reis Aleph, Daniel gave up his life in order to daven. Nebuchadnezzar actually started to appreciate and respect Daniel for it. But Daniel was makbid on tefillah, and really, it was sakonis nefashos what he was doing, and he gave up his life because the shorish neshama of Daniel was tefillah, and for a person shorish neshama, he's allowed to give up his life. So that's why Mordechai was different than everyone else. Mordechai's shorish neshama was to take on Haman, and therefore, whatever it takes to take on Haman, not only is he allowed to do it, he has an inyan to do it. He's a chiv to do it because that's where Shurish Neshama is. That's what he's supposed to be misaki. And what's Pshat, Rabbi Say? Just want to develop it. We said last time, we laid down the Yesod from the Goyin based on the Gemara. The Goyin says that really based on the Gemara, a person should not come into this world. It's better off that he shouldn't come back into this world. And the only why he's coming back as a Gilgal into this world is kedei to be misaking that chet that he did the first round. Otherwise, it's toivloi, it would be better for him, mutavloi, that he wouldn't come back into this world. But now that he's hash, now that he's nivra, what should he do? See what he's inclined to, which chet he has a disposition to, or what he was nichshol more often in. And he has a trouble trying to tackle that inyan. And then we know that's what he was chayte in his first round, in his Gilgal Rishon. And that's why he's inclined now, b'teva, to be chayte in. And that's his avoid. His avoid is to tackle that he's inclined to do, because that's where his shayrish neshama is. We brought down from the Rimzi de Chokmasa, that by Shaul HaMelech, when he took on Agag, he killed everything except for Agag HaMelech and the Meitav HaTzoin. He was taking on every other area except for the Meitav. He missed the boat because the avoid of a person is to take on the Meitav, to take on the Shpitz, what his neshama is right to take on, what he's supposed to be taking on. And that's his avoidah. And when Shaul HaMelech batched, Malchus was stripped away from him. because he didn't do his tafkid. His tafkid was to take down Agag, and he took down the Ganza Molig except for Agag. He left over the Maitav of Amalek. Memele, he lost out on his tafkid, and he was deprived of Malchus, Lenetzach, Netzachim. So if you take apart this sugya, if you think for a moment, that means if a person comes back to this world and does everything but the Maitav, but what he was chaited the first round, everything but what his Shuris Nesham is supposed to fix, then it would be Toivloi that he wouldn't have been Nivra. The only reason why Chazal say that Akshav Shenivra, he should be a fascist by myself, is because he's trying to take care of that Nakuda that he has to correct. But if he doesn't address that Nakuda, then it's Noyach Laila Adam Shaloi Nivra, Yaisa Mishanivra. So when it comes to such an area, let's say, if the reason why Mordechai was Nivra was to take on Haman, if he does all the Torah in the world and all the mitzvahs in the world, but doesn't take on Haman, Toivloi, Noyachloi, Shaloi Nevra. It would have been better off that Mordechai wouldn't have been born. So Meili is allowed to give up his life. Because what's his life? It would be better that he wouldn't have been born. The only reason why he has life, his whole purpose in life, his raison d'etre, is only for this, is only to take down Haman. If he takes it down, great. If he doesn't, he has no reason to live. He has no purpose to live. So for such a nekuda, to the shayish neshama of a person, he has a right to give up his life, because that's the only reason why he came into this world for. It's a gevaldike yisoid, and it speaks, like I said, to that nekuda, that a person has to take on his the meitav ha'avoida. He has to take on what he was designated for. Let's develop this a little bit more, Rabbi Sai. In Manas Halevi, and Esther Perg Beis, Pasek He, says like this. It says in the Pasek, Ish Yehuda Yehoya B'shushan Abira, Ushmai Mordechai Ben Yair, Ben Shimi, Ben Kish, Ish Yimini. Everyone knows the Pasek. The Manas Halevi tells on the Pasek is that when you're reckoning the Dairis up, the Megillah left out so many Dairis. It's not true. This is not how it goes. It's not Mordechai ben Yoav ben Shimi ben Kish. Shimi wasn't the son of Kish. Chazal list seven other generations, actually eight other generations between Shimi and Kish. What happened? What happened? Why did it leave out? Really, it goes all the way up to Shaul HaMelech. Shaul was the son of Kish. And then Shaul had a son, Yonasan had a son, Mipi Baishas, and then Micha, and then Ela, and then Moitzen, and Ban, and then Shmida, and then Shimi. We left out eight generations from Shimi all the way to Kish. What happened? What was the Megillah doing? Zok to Manas Halevi is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and he made it, he orchestrated, he made it that the tchunis and nefesh of Shaul HaMelech, his tafkin in life, was to go against Amalek. Shenikmas Hashem ba'Amalek has to be through Shaul ben Kish. And he didn't do that. He messed up. He left over Agag. Memela, who's going to be misaking that chet? So that chet was Niskan Aydei Mordechai 8 generations later. Well, actually, seven after Shaul. Seven generations in between that gap, and then comes Shimi, then good. Mordechai ben Shimi. That gap was missing, but it started again. It picked up again by Mordechai. Mordechai was the one who's misacking the chet of Shaul to take on Agag. We know that Haman was a zera from Agag, Amalek. And because Shaul didn't kill Agag right away, Chazal say that that night, that it was a delay, Agag had a shifcha, and from that relationship came out, was begot a child, and from there came out Haman. That delay that Shaul did created a Haman in the world. And to fix, to be misaking that chet of Shaul HaMelech, that had to wait many generations till Mordechai came around. It was Bnei Bonov. Shaul, we know Mordechai and Esther were Bnei Bonov of Shaul HaMelech. And Memela, they took on the tachkid of their Zayda of Shaul. What Shaul was supposed to do to Amalek, Mordechai and Esther now got that job. And Memela, we refer to Mordechai as Ben Yoav, Ben Shimi, Ben Kish, as if though generations in between messed up and lost out their tafkid. And Mordechai is picking up where Shaul should have picked up. So it's like Mordechai is Ben Kish. We know Shaul's Ben Kish. No, Mordechai, Ben Yoav, Ben Shimi is really Ben Kish because they picked up the tafkid that Shaul was supposed to do. The Sfas Emes in Purim and Tofer Ishlam Et Zayin says, based on the Manas Alevi, that the Soid HaGilgal of Mordechai was the Ibn Neshama of Shaul. Shaul came back as a Gilgal, Ibn Neshama, which is not a full Gilgal, is a partial Gilgal, came back in Mordechai. And that was the Tafkid of Mordechai. He came back to this world, Noichlel Adam Shaloi Nivra. Really, he's not supposed to be born. But Akshav Shenivra, Yefashid Ramaisev, he recognized that his tafkid in the world is to be Mamale Dev Chasaran that Shaul messed up the first round. To take care of the Metav Atzoin and the Metav of Amalek, to take down Agag. And Haman was in place of Agag. So the battle between Mordechai and Haman was the same battle between Shaul and Agag. And Shaul messed up and Mordechai is taking over the Metav Atzoin. The Metav of Amalek. The Medrash HaGadol in Pashut B'Shalak says, Mechama L'Hashem B'Amalek Midor Dor. That's the Pasuk. The Medrash Darshan's like this. Mechama L'Hashem B'Amalek Midor. What's the first door you're supposed to take on Amalek? Zedor Shal Shal. And what's the second door? Zedor Shal Mordechai HaTzadik. What Shal, that door didn't accomplish, Mordechai picked up and accomplished in his door. We know the Gemara Chulin says that Mordechai min Atari minayin, because says in pasuk Mordor, and we dash in Mordor, right? Mordor, and that's like Mordechai Mordor. The drawer, notice drawer is like two doors. Mordechai picked up that door that Shaul messed up. That was midor dor. The mecham l'Hashem b'Amalek midor dor. What Shaul messed up. And he came back as a Gilgal of Mordechai. Mordechai picked up. Memele, since Haman was a Mizera Agag, so Mordechai defied everything. He gave up his life. He was willing to incite Haman Bedafka, kick him, insult him, berab him deliberately, because that was his tafkid, and he wanted to mesak in the chet of Shaul HaMelech. So whatever it took, even if it means being giving up one's life, he was mechuyev to do. It goes under the same din of the Gimel Averis Kamuras that we all have. He had it in his Shorish Neshama, because that's why he came back to this world. If that's the reason, so it's Noiklai Shaloi Nivra, unless he accomplishes this. If he doesn't do this, it would be better off that he's not Nivra. So of course he could give up his life. It's an unbelievable Yisoid, Rabbi said, how important it is that we hone in on our personal avoda. We all have klalistic avoda. We keep tariag mitzvahs and learn Torah and chesed and tefillah. We all have them. We all share that bond. But each one of us has an individual tafkid. And like I said, we are now gigulim and we have individual tafkidim. And if we hone in on that individual tafkid and we work on it, and it could be hard, it's the derech arucha shikatzar we mentioned. It's hard. But if we tackle it, then everything else falls into place that we had from Rivzin de Chokhmasa. The ik is to take care of the mate of our void, that what we our purpose in life is. And if we do that, if we can take care of what our purpose in life is, then we masakin and then it becomes a nerkle shenivra. But if we do everything else, we run around and avoid what we're supposed to be really doing, then chulila b'chas, we can enter the bechina of nerkle shalay nivra. That's the Yisoy that we're supposed to be taking out of the Megillah. We see throughout the theme what Mordechai did, that he risked his life because he understood that that was his tachlis. And that was to be misaking the chet of Shaul HaMelech that he was a Gilgal of. And it was bedafka like that. It had to come through Chazal Mavu. It had to come through dafka Shevet Binyamin, because really the Chet of Shaul and Agag preceded this. It went back early on. It came from Yaakov Avinu and Esav. Yaakov bowed down to Esav. And to be mesaken that, we needed to have a Zera Yaakov defying a Zera of Esav. So it had to be Shaul who had to defy Agag Amalek. And the reason why it had to be Dafka from Shevet Binyamin, the Sfarim say, is because Binyamin was the only one who wasn't part of bowing down to Esav. When Yaakov bowed down to Esav, he had his Yud Alef Yoladim. Binyamin wasn't born yet. So Binyamin was the only one who was not really directly part of that chet, and therefore had the koyach, and he was mukshel lakach, that he could be misakin that chet of Yaakov to what he bowed down to Esav. So Memela had to be from Shevet Binyamin, which was Shaul HaMelech. And when Shaul HaMelech messed up, so then Mordechai had to pick up the tab. And that's why Mordechai is referred to as Mordechai ben Yoav ben Shimi ben Kish, because those generations in between sort of got lost. And Mordechai became now the new ben Kish. That's how the Manas HaLevi says it. I would say it in a different nosach, is that Mordechai was the Gilgal Neshama of Shaul. See, Taka was ben Kish. It was a Bechin of Ben Kish, because just like Shaul's Ben Kish, Mordechai, who took that over, he was Taka Ben Kish. It was a Mordechai Ben Yoav Ben Shimi Ben Kish. Mameli was Mesakin, and when he was Mesakin that, so then came out the Geula, then came out the Yeshua, because it wasn't just his personal Avodah that he was Mesakin, he was being Mesakin on behalf of Gan Sky. So Yad Hashem will talk about in the future how his Tikkun not just helped out him and Shaul personally, but helped out Gan Sky Israel. Shkoyach for listening, Rabbi Say.
Yeah.